Welcome to the FTN NBA Podcast with your hosts, Adam Pfeiffer and Joe Metz. Presented by the FTN Network, this two-man fast break runs you through the best cash and tournament options for every game on today's slate.
Hey everybody, welcome back. FTN Fantasy NBA Podcast, presented, of course, by the FTN Network. Fade the noise. Adam Pfeiffer, Joe Metz with you once again here on Wednesday, August 26, 2020. Three-game slate in the NBA playoffs as series are ending, and some series are extending, but there are a couple closeout scenarios here on Wednesday. Orlando and Milwaukee. Milwaukee can close that series out, and Portland is fighting for their lives, and they're going to have to do so without Damian Lillard. Really, really tall task, especially when you consider what they did on Monday night. But Joe, what's up, man? What's going on?
How you doing? Spent the night watching another Jamal Murray gem, and I can imagine that if you weren't too distracted with your dynasty draft, that you'd have been doing the same. He has looked awesome, and you mentioned, you know, we talk a little bit about him and Donovan Mitchell. Outside of Murray, though, I'll be honest, Denver has not really impressed me to the point where I thought they would.
Their defense has been necessarily so bad.
Yeah, it's been a sieve. I don't see them contending for the West. If they get past Utah. But I will never not love watching any team in the NBA playoffs, sans maybe the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, I mean, they played hard, but they were just...
They did. I mean, it was, you know, you bring up a good point. You know, Jack Vaughn took over, I think, what, right before the restart or right before the league went dark? The team played hard in the bubble. They had nobody to play with. I mean, you know, Dinwiddie was out, DeAndre Jordan's out, Kyrie's out, Kevin Durant. I think he did earn himself at least another year as the head coach. So bright future, just wasn't in the cards this year.
Yeah, we'll see if the Milwaukee Bucks, can they close it out against Orlando? People were freaking out when they lost game one, and Giannis has dominated ever since. Just won defensive player of the year. Look, he's going to get MVP, right? Like, why can't they just give it to? Why can't he just give it to Ben Simmons? I don't know why Ben Simmons didn't even get in the finalist. I would have put him in the finalist.
I think, what did it go? It went.
It was Anthony Davis, Gobert. Yeah.
Which
might be the consensus three for the next like 5 years. I mean, Gobert's been there.
Ben Simmons is such an elite perimeter defender. It's unbelievable. That team, though, as itself, is in shambles. What really? I don't know how deep you looked into the ballot. Andre Drummond got a first place vote. That blew my mind. Whoever had that absurd ballot needs their voting privileges rescinded.
That's really absurd. Like,
that is horrible.
But Orlando, can they keep this series alive? Michael Carter-Williams out again. Aaron Gordon, who has not played yet this series, he's really dealing with that hamstring. He's once again questionable. Has not played since the 5th of August. I think this hamstring has been, you know, bugging him so bad that he can't even play in a playoff game, that even if he plays, I think he sees like 20, 22 minutes. We kind of talked about that the other night. But let's start with Orlando. You know, Markelle Fultz, 5,100. He got the it was the Markelle Fultz game if you chose between him and DJ Augustine. He had 31 minutes, finished with right under 36 fantasy points. Augustine still played 26 minutes but was not very productive. You know, because these guys are rarely on the floor together, you literally have to choose right. You're not going to be able to play both of them, and it's very unlikely that they both have really strong fantasy games.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, last game, really for the whole series, you know, this team is Steve Clifford has rode the hot hand. It's really hard to gauge who that's going to be, though, because I think they also play very different styles of basketball. You know, you see DJ Augustine come in, and he's going to command a ton of shots. But prior to last game, Augustine was second on the Magic in usage rate in the postseason. He's dropped down to 5th with Markelle Fultz going up to 3rd. The difference is less than a percent in usage, but that just shows how hard it is to really predict this situation.
It really comes down to who's going to play the fourth quarter, I feel like.
It is. It really is. I have not pulled up, you know, like popcorn machine to see who's been closing as of late, but it's hard for me to warrant going. Fultz has chronically or been more expensive in this series. So I've just naturally gravitated to Augustine, understanding the similar
Fultz played
ceiling.
The final 10 minutes of the game, by the way. Augustine started the fourth quarter, came out. Actually, they did play together a lot in the fourth.
Yeah, I was going to say they shared the floor a bit in the fourth. They actually moved Fultz to the two.
Mm-hmm.
Augustine's obviously just a little too small for that. I think a lot of that, in turn, though, is just because, you know, you mentioned it last time, how timid Evan Fournier has been just rather, like, you know, again, he shot under 30% last game. You know, volume was up, and he had a few extra peripherals that he doesn't usually stumble into, so he did produce. But the lack of assertiveness and effectiveness on his end, I think, has led Steve Clifford to trust these two a little more. I still side with DJ Augustine, but, again, you can't go wrong with either for their prices.
Yeah, they're still really fairly priced given the usage we're seeing, running a lot of pick and roll with Vucevic. Yeah, it's going to, like, prior to that fourth quarter where they both played together a little bit, and then Fultz eventually kind of closed the final 3 minutes or so, they mm-hmm. still have not been on the floor together very often. Maybe that changes here in a pivotal, will just be game five. So mm-hmm. I think they're both in play, but again, it's very unlikely that they both score like 30 fantasy points. It seems to be one or the other. You mentioned Fournier, how we've talked about how timid he's been. At least he took 14 shots, but again, didn't shoot the ball very effectively. The 8 rebounds, I don't think are going to happen again. He's still at a price tag where you can go to him because he's going to play 35 minutes. And if his 3-point shot is, like, he's going to get 3-point opportunities playing against Milwaukee. I mean, he took 9 threes last game, 6 to 2 games before, and 7 in game 1. Like, I still think there's opportunity there. Milwaukee gives up the highest percentage of points from three in the NBA, and he's still really fairly priced. I also don't think Gordon's going to play. Terrence Ross, again, if he can get the 30 minutes, he'll probably be really good as well at 5K. It's kind of like it's kind of like other than Vucevic, you're choosing one or the other. You're choosing one or the other between Augustine and Vucevic, Augustine 100%. And Fultz. You're choosing between Fournier and Ross, and then I don't know, like, to a lesser extent, but you could even be choosing James Ennis or Gary Clark.
Clark. Just, 100%.
It's just Vucevic, obviously, is the main cog, and he's been unbelievable.
Yeah, he's been arguably, outside of Giannis, potentially the most consistent player on this specific slate over the past week.
I was going to say, you could make the case he's been just, you know, point blank, one of the best players in the playoffs. Easily.
Yeah, I don't even think it's an argument.
Him, Giannis, I would put Donovan Mitchell up there.
Jamal Murray,
and obviously Luka's been better than everybody. He's just been, I don't want to say better than everybody, because Giannis has been just unbelievable every series, but Luka's huge game in the other night.
And the game winner. Kind of,
yeah, but yeah, I think those are the guys that have been the best playoff performers so far this postseason.
Yeah, I mean, Vucevic has only shot under 50% from the field in one of the games this series. Shot 6 of 10 from 3 last game. Obviously, that's probably a bit unsustainable as far as the field goal percentage. But like you mentioned with Fournier, the 3-point opportunities are going to be there. So you might as well take the bonus, especially on a slate where the Magic are facing elimination, whereas a team like the Lakers are, for all intents and purposes, likely coasting into the next round with Damian Lillard out. I think you're much better off going with Vucevic as your spend-up center over Anthony Davis or Yusuf Nurkic.
Gary Clark is still yet to attempt a 2-pointer in this series.
Yeah, I don't, and frankly, I don't think that will change.
It's not. That's his role. There's upside there if he's hitting him at 4,200, and if he walks into a couple rebounds, you know, he should play 27 to 30 minutes again if Gordon's out. He's not the worst play.
Jay, you could say the same about James Ennis, too. But again, you know, it's like splitting hairs. They're incrementally, you know, James Ennis is incrementally more expensive, but he had the one outlier where he got ejected. But he's been pretty consistent in his minutes. I personally still like Gary Clark more. I think the upside guarding Giannis, he's shown kind of the ability to not get into foul trouble against Giannis, which is probably something to put on his resume going forward. But again, the 3-point shots are there. I think the outlier last game was his one rebound. He hasn't seen less than 6 in a game before that, so I don't think that's anything to worry about, and he's cheaper. So, it's, again, this is the Vucevic show. and then you're kind of playing this or that with the rest of the team. So if you Adam, take those three combos we talked about, who would be your pick in each pairing, for lack of a better word?
I would go Fultz, mainly because I think if Orlando wins this game or has a chance to win it, Fultz is going to... I just think Fultz has the higher ceiling, and they need a ceiling game to win this series. Then I will go... I'm just going to take the security in minutes and go to Fournier. He's at least shooting more. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to go with Gary Clark.
Yeah. See, I'm going Augustine, Fournier, Gary Clark. Those are the three I would go.
Gotcha.
But, I mean, you obviously can't argue, really, against the other ones anyways.
Let's go to Milwaukee. Giannis has just been doing everything. You know, Defensive Player of the Year, probably going to win MVP within the next couple days or so or whatever. 23 rebounding opportunities per game in the playoffs for Giannis. It's just absurd. He's just getting every rebound in every single way for this Milwaukee team. And look, I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that the Lakers just blow out Portland with that Lillard. It's very possible, especially, you know, it's easier to think that after what they did on Monday night. But
yeah.
But like, you can make the case that Giannis has a potential higher ceiling in minutes in his game than LeBron could. And then you obviously have James Harden as a spend-up option as well. Same question as kind of last time. Where does Giannis rank among the pay-up options for you? Is he number one?
I think he is. I mean, we saw, you know, we knew Harden's 70-point game was coming.
Yeah.
He got one last game. We're not obviously writing that off again. It's just the consistency that Giannis has demonstrated, you know, in this series. He's only finished below 60 DK points once, and he had 59. He's seen 31 or more minutes in every game. He's shot at least 43% from the field in each game. 2 games ago, he shot 86% from the field. He's hit at least 1 3 in every game, and the rebounding opportunities are just insane right now. And you know he's going to rack up defensive peripherals. There's really not a hole in his game from a fantasy perspective. And I think the consistency is all we really needed in the regular season, and he's still priced fairly.
Chris Middleton, same argument. He's priced around his ceiling. Mm-hmm. If you need 35 to 40 fantasy points, he's going to get there for you more often than not. It's just hard to love him as a tournament guy right now. Bledsoe, 5,800. Bledsoe has not played 30 minutes in a game this series.
No, and I don't think this is a game where he will either, just because of how good
George Hill is. If we're really needing some value on this slate, I know Lillard's out, but if we're looking elsewhere, like, you could do worse than George Hill at 3,900. He should play 23 to 25 minutes. Like, he played 23 well last game. He was playing well, so he got a little bit more run. But, like, yeah, he's not the worst value play in a three-game slate.
No, they're going to play him. He's a veteran. They're not obviously not relying on someone like Dante as much as they were in the regular season, because they do want their veterans to step up in the playoffs, and Hill's going to come in. He's going to shoot threes. I personally, if I'm playing one of the Bucks point guards tomorrow, I think I'd prefer George Hill at this price compared to Bledsoe at 5,800. Obviously, Bledsoe has the higher ceiling, but Hill's really not that far off in minutes for $1,900 less.
Any Wesley Matthews or Brooke Lopez is fine at 5,200. His price really hasn't moved. And if you get the outlier blocks, or I mean, it's not an outlier block game, because like 6 blocks is an outlier game for anybody, but Brooke Lopez we talk about all the time, he has those in his arsenal. And then, you know, if you get the outlier rebound game where he gets 6-7, then he, if Brooke Lopez gets 6 rebounds in a game, which is crazy to say because he's a 7-foot center, but if he gets 6 rebounds in a game, he's probably gonna smash.
You're looking at a ceiling game. I don't mind Brooke for his price, but again, this is probably a slate where I will focus on trying to get Vucevic in my lineup. Going back to Middleton very quickly, I understand, you know, he's priced around a ceiling when Giannis is active. The issue on the previous slates we've talked about is, you know, there's Jimmy Butler, there's TJ Warren, there's Brogdon, there's Bam. These guys in that price range aren't on the slate anymore. So does that change how you approach Middleton at all, understanding that there are less options in that price range? Or do you think it's more of a range now that you'll almost avoid altogether, unless targeting a Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, or I guess now with McCollum 300 more without Lillard, he's almost a lock. But
yeah, and then you have pressure. And then you have some guys a little bit below there from Portland, like Melo, Gary Trent, you know, even more so down. It is a good question though, because like in terms of safety, like Middleton is super safe. We know that. But I just think in the game environments potentially and especially what we've seen, I think there's just a higher ceiling for guys like Dennis Schroeder and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And I don't think anybody would disagree that with Lillard out, there's a way higher ceiling for McCollum, because it's, I use the comparison all the time. They're so similar, McCollum and Middleton, when they're priced at their ceiling, when Lillard and or Giannis are active, I usually avoid them. And then when one of those guys are out, it's all systems go. So
yeah, 100% agreed.
Let's go to OKC and Houston. The Thunder. This series has been fun. I really enjoy this series. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Dennis Schroeder, after their poor game one outings, they've been fantastic over the last two games. Schroeder with 29 and 30 real points during that span. Still really fairly priced at 6,400. Like, he was around this price a lot during the regular season, and now you know his minutes are going to be even higher. And then SGA's been, you know, scoring and getting a lot of peripherals as well. Start the Thunder.
I think Schroeder is my favorite play. Again, second straight slate. Like you said, the price is at a reasonable point. You know he's going to close games. He has the highest usage rate in the playoffs, or on the team in the playoffs, excuse me. And he's not hard to fit into your lineup. And you know he's going to shoot. Like, this matchup is perfect. You know, Houston ranks bottom third in the NBA against bench players. I see no reason not to like him on a point per dollar basis. You know, Shai has been, these last three games, he's been really, really good, and he's seeing 10 to 12 more minutes per game than Schroeder, but that $1,000 difference is huge to me.
Yeah. I do like Schroeder the most as well. Houston's dead last against benches, or like 22nd against primary ball handlers, so it's a really good spot for Dennis Schroeder. Chris Paul, 8,100. The price is kind of, you know, staying around that low 8K range. He's perfectly fine as well. I just feel more inclined to go to Dennis Schroeder, but if you get to Chris Paul, it's not a bad option by any means either. Danilo Gallinari, 6,300. Again, different position, but same price tag pretty much. I prefer Schroeder. The minutes should be there. I know he was under 30 last game, but you know he's just easily, because he doesn't get peripherals and because he's not like a massive usage guy, he's somebody that I, you know, he's always, unless he's like really underpriced, which he's not, he's kind of fairly priced, he's kind of always a third or fourth option from the Thunder. Agreed. For me.
100%. I mean, if someone's out, plug him in. But like you said, especially in the playoffs, he's not going to be the high usage guy on offense. If he's priced, you know, 55 to 5,700, I like it. But it's at a price now where you need him to be hitting 50 to 60% of his shots and have an outlier 5 to 7 rebound game. Those seem more unlikely than they do likely in this situation, so I'll probably pass on Gallo.
Dort has shot 3 of 10 in each of the last three games. The minutes are going to be there because they, you know, love his defensive abilities. They need his defensive abilities against a team like Houston. 4,200, is it a little too much, or is it kind of just right for the role he's going to have on this team? Because if you think about it, I mean, 10 shots for his role as like the fifth option really isn't bad. He's taken 10 in all three games he's played.
No, exactly. I mean, I think his price is perfect for what you're getting, and it gives you it gives you room for upside. You know, he has shot 30% each of the last three games. That is a lot, significantly lower than the regular season, but he's getting peripherals. He's seeing mid to upper 30s in minutes. And the only other issue holding him back besides his shooting, he's had 5 fouls in two of the last three games. So if he reins that in just a bit, albeit that will be difficult when you're shadowing James Harden. But $4,200, you know, there's not a lot to lose here. Like, especially on a slate where front court value is going to be a little harder to come by than back court value would be. I don't mind it. I don't necessarily know if I'm looking at the forward spot on DraftKings. I don't know if I like him more than Gary Clark for the same price, but you could make a case for it.
Any Steven Adams, he was questionable heading into that last game. He ended up playing, I think he played 26 minutes. The minutes are always a concern with him when you look at the, you know, the matchup with Houston, a team that'll go small a lot. I think his ceiling is like 32 minutes. The center position is outside of, you have Davis, Vooch, and Nurk, and then, guys that could play 25 minutes, could play 30 minutes, could play, 20 minutes. It's kind of up in the air with, the guys like Jeff Green, Steven Adams, Brook Lopez, Whiteside, PJ Tucker, Clark, etc.
Yeah, I mean, Steven Adams, I think he has the ceiling, especially in this matchup, to absolutely dominate this undersized front court. But because the backcourt on this team takes up the lion's share of the usage, I don't see him as a safe enough play to work playing.
I miss, right after Durant left OKC, Steven Adams, when it was just the pick and roll with Russell Westbrook. He was I played him in fantasy all the time.
And he was perpetually underpriced. I don't think he ever really got above that $6,700, $6,800 range. And for what he was giving you on a nightly basis, it was a great, great price.
And they were the easiest correlation because Steven Adams rarely scored without Westbrook passing it to him.
Exactly.
It was my favorite thing.
Players going to siphon usage from the other because Steven Adams literally gets all of his usage in the pick and roll.
They don't run it as much anymore with Chris Paul.
No, they don't. It's just such a different makeup of a team because they have so many more players now that you can just kick out to for a three.
Yeah. That's the other thing. Like those Westbrook years, it was Andre Roberson playing meaningful minutes as a 3-point shooter. It was they had like Anthony Morrow, Anthony Morrow was getting minutes off the bench as one of their shooters. Like that was the time where the Thunder were like the worst 3-point shooting team. Just I don't want to say ever, but I think they could have been. Like,
I mean, when Russell Westbrook is taking the majority of your threes, that speaks for itself.
On a per volume. That one of those years, he was like the worst 3-point shooter in NBA history on a volume basis. So yeah, it's a lot to do with SGA can shoot, Schroeder can shoot, Gallinari is just one of the better spot up shooters in the league. Like they just have way more shooting now to where they don't need Adams in the pick and roll as much, and he's not a post up guy really either.
Yeah, agreed. So on a slate like tonight, I understand the ceiling is there, but when you have guys even priced below him like Gary Clark, Hassan Whiteside, Brook Lopez that are viable, you have Jeff Green in the same range, and you have elite high-end options, he's going to get buried, and rightfully so in my mind. I mean, if you want to take a dart in a tournament, fine, but I really don't see a need to go there.
Houston, you have James Harden, finally got that 70-point mark last game. He's 11-8 on DraftKings. He's going to take 20 to 25 shots. He's going to flirt with a triple-double, and he has upside for as many points as you can imagine. So if you want to play him, feel free. I agree with you, though. I do prefer Giannis for the savings, but Harden's obviously an elite play. I think this Jeff Green-Covington stuff is interesting because Covington didn't play much in the second half in game number, 3? And then game 4, he's back to 34 minutes, was fairly productive. But Jeff Green still over 30 minutes again as he plays a lot of that small ball center. And there's a lot of value to be had there when, this team is based off the dribble, drive, and kick out, and Jeff Green's going to have 3-point opportunities. So if you want to add anything to Harden, feel free. Then what about the rest of the Houston guys?
You hit the nail on the head with Harden. This is a play that, I mean, frankly, even with Westbrook in the fold when he comes back, it's just not a play you can go wrong with in the playoffs. Covington, I'm so on because of the Jeff Green thing, like you mentioned. If there's any other play that I'll be targeting actively in Houston, it's Eric Gordon. He's been
arguably so
the most reliant. He's been the most reliant. If you need 30 fantasy, gun to your head, you need 30 DraftKings points, take Aaron Gordon. You will live to see another day. Like he is literally 30.75, 30.75, 31.25, 33.75.
And that's with a 6-for-20 and an 8-for-24 day from the field in there.
Yeah, he's seeing above 30 minutes. He's seeing at least 15 shots a game. You know he's going to shoot threes. And one of those games, he was 0-for-10 from deep. If he literally has one outlier game where he shoots 45% from three, he's going to explode. Like, he obviously is not a big peripheral guy, but at his price, you don't need that. Like, I think 6,100 is very reasonable. So I think he is probably a staple in cash games.
Sure. Daniel House, huge minutes.
He's going to keep playing a lot. I really think last three games he's seen 38 plus. his volume's up there too, and he's shooting well from the field. He's crashing the glass. He's similar, you know, at least over the last three games, production is similar to Eric Gordon for $600 less. I don't hate it. Would you go Daniel House over Jeff Green? Obviously, there's a positional limitation with Green.
I probably would, because Jeff Green's only center eligible, right?
Yeah. And House is small forward and power forward. What about House or Covington?
I'd take House.
Yeah, I do too.
It's cheaper.
And he's playing significantly more minutes.
Right. Anything else from Houston?
No, I don't really see a need for Austin Rivers
or PJ Tucker.
Or PJ Tucker.
All right. He's been rebounding the ball a little bit better, PJ Tucker, but yeah, it's just not a play you need on the slate. All right, Portland and the Lakers. The Lakers, 13.5-point favorites with Lillard ruled out for Portland. I mean, an elimination game and Portland can't and Lillard can't play. It's got to be a relatively, you know, serious injury. It's a sprained right knee. Mm-hmm. Feel bad for Lillard. I honestly do. Let's see if Portland can keep the series alive without him. Obviously, the direct beneficiary would be CJ McCollum. You look at the regular season with Lillard off the floor. Usage rate's around 34%, 1.26 fantasy points per minute, 8,100. There is a chance the Lakers blow them out, but, I mean, we're in the playoffs, so they're, like, it's not only is it the playoffs, but it's an elimination game. So if they're down 20 in the third quarter, McCollum can't come off the floor.
No, there's no, the only way he comes off the floor is if they're down 20 with, like, four, 2 to 3
minutes left. Yeah, I was going to say, maybe 4 minutes left, but not even that, probably. He'd probably get another 2 minutes to try to salvage something.
Yeah, so diving into the splits, you know, obviously we haven't seen Lillard off of the court much in the playoffs, so I kind of extrapolated.
Or in the seeding games where he played 40 minutes pretty much every game.
The entire 1920 season. And quick plug, the FTN Daily Splits tool just launched this week. It's incredible. You know, it doesn't only show usage, points, rebounds, assists, like those typical stats. If you want to see team stats with the player off the floor, you can, whether it be effective field goal percentage, true shooting percentage, points allowed, points scored, pace, whatever it may be. It also shows DraftKings points per game, FanDuel, Yahoo, and then the player, it shows their effective field goal percentage, true shooting percentage, turnovers, literally any stat it has on here, so you can get the most well-rounded analysis of what is this player's true production when someone's out, not just like, oh, does their usage go up? So quick plug there, huge shout out to Stefano for creating that and making it his baby, like he's done it with just about every other elite NBA tool that we have. But McCollum sees a pretty significant spike in usage, a 7.8% bump up to about 34%. Sees 25 points per game compared to 22. Pretty incremental change in rebounds and assists. Obviously, he's going to see a bit of a drop in effective field goal percentage just because of the increase in volume. But he's seeing on average about 4 more fantasy points per game with Lillard off the court across all sites. Taking that into consideration, you know, taking how good LA's defense is, does that change your mind from him being a lock at 8,100? Are you still thinking that this is, you know, see, for me in cash games, I feel like you need CJ McCollum just because the ownership is through the roof.
There is a very, very interesting avenue of fading in tournaments.
Yes.
Because, you know, Portland's or the Lakers could just, you know, key on him on defense. You know, I don't worry as much about a blowout concern because it's an elimination game. Like, you can't just say, all right, we'll get him next game, because if they lose, they're done. So I don't think fading McCollum is like full fading is exactly smart, but I could see why somebody might do it. He's a very, very, very strong play, obviously. What do you think the rotation looks like now, though? Do you think they start McCollum at the 1? Does Gary Trent move to the 2 and then Melo at the 3, and they've been using Whiteside and Nurkic together?
I think you have to do that.
Anthony Simons, people might think is a play. He played 12. He played the entire fourth quarter of that blowout last game. That was 12 of his, like, 23 minutes. I don't see how in a must-win game they give him meaningful, not just minutes, but ball handling duties. I think it's McCollum. I think it's Gary Trent. And I think it's obviously
I think we see Mello more Melo at the 3, which will involve more Fortunately or unfortunately, I think we'll see more Mario Hezonja because he can. I mean, he has proven.
Yeah, I was going to say Hezonja is probably the more of a beneficiary than Simons because Hezonja has actually been in the rotation in the playoffs.
Yeah, I just Mario Hezonja. If you had to put a Mount Rushmore,
yeah, he's brutal.
His least favorite NBA players, Mario Hezonja would lead the pack.
He's tough. He's been so. The Orlando days when he was chalk weren't good.
New York days,
the Knicks.
Why he like dunked on Giannis one game and got all his like got in his grill, like just calm down, buddy. But the thing is, he might be a viable play tomorrow. He's only $3,500, so I think there is warrant to Hezonja. But I also, I mean, I think McCollum is the cornerstone of this team now. But you got to think Melo's going to see a massive jump in usage for $5,900.
Yeah, I like Melo a lot. He's already taking plenty of shots. And now Lillard's out. And this is the other thing. This is already a Portland team that coming into the bubble was missing Rodney Hood. They're missing Trevor Ariza. Zach Collins has been out. Nasir Little's been out. So, like, replacing Lillard is obviously, you know, hard enough. But the fact that it's a guy playing 40-plus minutes every night, like, there's going to be a lot of opportunity up for grabs for a guy like Gary Trent, who I think is going to be popular. He was already a huge part of the rotation anyway. I think he does enter the starting lineup at the two guard with McCollum moving to the one. He should be popular, but he makes for a really strong play, in my opinion. And there's he's going to share usage with McCollum and Melo, but he should still see enough to be valuable or viable at 4,800. Thoughts on Gary Trent, and then thoughts on the front court with Whiteside and Nurkic.
I like Gary Trent. I think, you know, obviously he enters the starting lineup with two high usage players. But at the end of the day, you hit on it. Damian Lillard is one of the highest usage players in the NBA. And at $4,800, you don't need a 25 to 30% usage rate. You need 7-plus shots, 35 minutes with a few peripherals. And that is exactly what Gary Trent has the ability to contribute. My concern, however, is the fact that he is going to continue to expend all of his energy picking up LeBron at half court.
Right.
$4,800 though, with Lillard out, I don't think it's not a risky play. Like, there's not much to lose because you're not giving up a ton. As far as the front court, I think Nurkic at $8,600, his price has come down, but we just haven't seen the ceiling games just because the guy cannot stop fouling. Like, he is in foul trouble every single game. But then the games, you know, you hit it on the last podcast when he's not in foul trouble, 20-20 games, 16-15, 22-10. Like, he has the potential, but when you're staring at Nikola Vucevic for $500 more, Anthony Davis for even a little more than that, or dropping down to the likes of Brook Lopez for $5,200, his teammate Hassan Whiteside, it's just in an awkward range where I don't really feel comfortable playing Nurkic knowing the other options at center. I like Whiteside. The ceiling is there. My issue with him is the erratic playing time and over at least the last game, like, he had some pretty bad, he's committed four fouls in 17 minutes. Looked like he had trouble getting up and down the court. He was not crashing the glass. He just didn't look like he cared, which obviously being hard to predict from a DFS standpoint, but it is Hassan Whiteside, so his head could be anywhere else but, like, the game. This is a player that, as a Bucks fan, reminds me of Larry Sanders a little bit.
I thought that man was going to be unreal.
Yeah, we did too. We paid him like we thought he was going to be unreal. I mean, but the thing is, he was a Defensive Player of the Year finalist. Like, and Larry Sanders would be the perfect player on this Bucks team too.
Yeah.
Like, he would help this team so much. But
yeah, I'm sure they need a lot of help right now.
I mean, but $4,900, like Trent, you're not really giving up a ton to trust Whiteside. So I don't hate it. I like it more than Nurkic, but I don't necessarily know if I'll need to go there.
Let's close it out with the Lakers as they try to close it out. You know, LeBron and Anthony Davis just dominated the minutes they got in that blowout in game number 5. Or 4, whatever game it was. I lose track. You know, LeBron was pretty much perfect. I mean, did it all. 30.6 rebounds, 10 assists in just 28 minutes. He shot 10 of 12 from the field, 4 of 5 from 3, including one from Staples Center, it looked like. LeBron and Davis are going to be two very interesting players in the slate because a lot of people are going to be worried that they see limited minutes or so, but I'm more of the belief that Portland can keep this game close long enough, and again, it's a closeout situation for the playoffs, that LeBron should still play as close to his normal minutes. Same with Anthony Davis. I know he had the back issue. It was more precautionary. It's a little scary with Anthony Davis because it's Anthony Davis, but he's expected to play. What do you think of the Lakers? Also, Rajon Rondo, who they have not had, he is expected to play. He has not played in forever, so he hasn't played since March 10th, so I'd be shocked if he played more than like 15 minutes in this game.
Yeah, I like the Lakers here. I think if you're looking at the top two studs, I do prefer LeBron, even at his slightly more expensive price, over Davis because of the back spasms. It could be a very minute issue for him, but especially given the circumstances of the series, I would expect the Lakers to take extra precaution, and we saw that happen last game. You know, he exploded for 30 DraftKings points in the first quarter, only ended up playing 18 minutes, so I think you're much safer going with Vucevic for a $1,500 discount. Playoff LeBron is like playoff Kawhi. It's really hard to get away from. I still think I prefer Giannis and Harden for safety's sake, knowing that this game has the potential to get out of hand. And, you know, we saw the last two blowouts in this series, LeBron played 27 and 28 minutes. I think both warrant GPP consideration. You can play LeBron in cash, but if anything, like I think I'm finally to a point where I could potentially see myself considering Kuzma in a game. Just considering the fact that it could get really out of hand, potential limitations around Anthony Davis. There is an avenue here where he could have a 30-minute game with somewhat high usage.
Yeah, I'm not a huge Kuzma guy usually either, but his price has finally come down enough to where I totally get it. And he makes for an interesting GPP play because Gary Trent's going to be double the ownership, you think, at a similar price. In the same game. So that could be a really interesting leverage play to go to Kyle Kuzma, who, again, I just never love playing. But if you're looking to win a tournament, like, that could be the move. Danny Green finally hit some threes, and he had a good day in fantasy. If he's hitting his threes, he's going to be good. If he's not, he's going to be like 9.5, 10 points. Any interest in Green, KCP, or, you know, Dwight? I know Dwight played 24 minutes, but I don't envision that happening again.
I don't think, especially with the value on the other side of this game, I don't think you need it. If of the three you mentioned, I think I still prefer Danny Green the most. KCP, I don't mind, but he doesn't really contribute much outside of shooting. So if he's off, he's like really off for you.
Yeah, same with Danny Green. He gets a couple blocks, but that's about it.
Yeah, no interest for me in Dwight Howard, JaVale McGee, Caruso with Rondo expected back, Deion Waiters with Rondo expected back, like Marcus Morris I don't see a need for. This team, just because of the lack of depth, one, it's why I picked out the Clippers to come out of the West, but it's also why it shows how top-heavy this team is in DFS. I don't think there's a need for any of this value unless someone big is out.
All right. We'll see if I think Portland's going to surprise people. I don't think they're going to win, but I think they're going to keep the game close enough long enough that we have the minutes that we want
for these guys. Yeah.
Okay. I don't think Orlando wins. I don't think Portland wins. So we'll be getting to round two of the playoffs very soon. But game-by-game article will be done by you for Wednesday, correct?
Yes, it will.
Awesome. So you'll have that. You'll have live with Eddie Fear and company. No more 1 o'clock games, so I don't mind that.
No, I don't either.
I enjoyed it at first, but now it's like we get more time to kind of digest the slate and stuff like that. So, yeah, best of luck. Have fun. Enjoy some more playoff basketball action. Also enjoy just being alive to watch LeBron James play basketball because so you could throw Giannis in there too.
You misspoke. You mean Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Listen, LeBron, even though it doesn't seem like it, has less time left than Giannis. So
it is, which is, I mean, and him and someone like Chris Paul, like it's great. Like you and I grew up for the large majority of our NBA fandom. These guys have been staples in it. It's kind of weird to see now that it really is the passing of the torch.
Yeah, it was weird when like we saw You know, like Duncan, Dwight, Paul Pierce, Kobe, and those guys all retire. It's like, wow, like these guys have been around for Steve Nash, like Garnett, these guys have been around forever. And now we're starting to get to the point where it's Dwayne Wade, LeBron, Melo, Chris Paul. Like all these guys are, you know, pretty soon, like it's coming. And I can't envision the NBA without LeBron James. It's going to be weird, but I don't feel bad for those teams in the Eastern Conference that could not get past LeBron for years. Now they have to try to get past Giannis. Like, not fun.
And Giannis, Luka, and Kawhi. Like, it's still not going to be any easier.
Yeah. Best of luck, though. Have a good Wednesday. Check out the content at FTN Daily, FTN Fantasy, and FTN Bets. We'll be back on Thursday for the Toronto. We have Toronto and Boston on that slate.
Yeah, so game one on the
breakdown, as well as the rest of the playoff basketball action. Peace.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode of the FTN NBA Podcast with Adam and Joe. Please subscribe, rate, and review the podcast.